Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, God. Jesus, we want revival now, Lord God. We want a move of your spirit now, Lord Jesus. We don't want to wait till tomorrow. We don't want change, Lord, next week. We want you to do it now, Lord, in our hearts. We want you to do it now in our families. We want you to do it now in our church. We want you to do it now in our city, Lord. We need a move of your spirit, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, touch our kids, Lord. Touch our spouse, Lord. Hallelujah. Touch our family, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need a move in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so thankful to be in the presence of the Lord today. Hallelujah. And thank you for coming and joining with us to worship the Lord together. Amen. Hallelujah. I love worshiping God alone, but I especially love worshiping God together. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a wonderful feeling to come together, be together. If you could just remain standing for just a moment. I did want to make one more plea. As you see, our lists here are completely empty. What this is for our outreach teams. What it is every Saturday we go out and hold signs at 5 o'clock. Everybody say 5 o'clock. We hold signs at US 1. Inviting people to come to church. We've had several people come to church through this effort. In fact, yesterday, my family went out there with little Henry and William and Rebecca. We went out there and held the signs together. And while we were out there, a young man pulled up and said, listen, I've been looking for a church. I just wanted to know what you guys were all about. Hallelujah. It's an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And every week, I know you can't necessarily be here every single Saturday, but maybe you can sign up for one Saturday a month. Week one or team one is for the first Saturday. Team two is second Saturday. Team three, etc. So whatever you're signing up for, it's for the next 3 months. It's for July, August, and September. You're saying, I'd like to come and be part of that. So right now, if you'd like to do that, you want to sign up, I'm going to make a plea for you to come down right now and do it while I continue to announce some announcements. I'm going to invite you to come up and do that. Don't everybody run up at once, all right? Praise God. But we would love for you to do that and join and do what you can. I do want to make a couple more important announcements. And that is, we want to give condolences to the family of Sister Smith. She did pass, if you have not heard yet, she did pass yesterday around 9 a.m. And we are still waiting to hear information about the funeral and all of that. So please just keep your phones on. I will be reaching out to people as we know more to be able to inform you, let you know. But I was able to yesterday go over, and this was after most of the family had left, and I was able to be with her mom and her aunt for just a moment. And I tell you, I felt such assurance while I was there, sitting with the body, with her mom and her aunt, I felt such assurance that she is with Jesus. Hallelujah. And I know it might be cliche, it might seem cliche, but let me assure you, these are not things we just say to comfort each other. When we say that she is in a better place, it is absolutely true. Hallelujah. And I'll just tell you this. I've never wavered in my faith that she would be healed. In fact, on the car ride to the hospital, I had it out with Jesus. I did. And I said, Jesus, I believed you were going to heal her. Why didn't you do it? But when I sat there, I felt the Lord put it in my heart. He said, Aaron, I could raise her even now. He said, but she's with me. Why would you want that? I said, Jesus, we love her, and I can't wait to see her again when I go to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, again, we offer condolences to the family. We are, as of right now, everybody say, as of right now, we are not going to cancel the School of the Spirit. However, I have informed the family that the funeral of Sister Smith takes precedence. My understanding is tomorrow we should have an answer, and if they should choose to schedule the funeral for Saturday, then I will let you know. We will be canceling this. I've already informed the preacher that there's a possibility we're going to be canceling this. And when I say canceling, I mean postpone it. We will schedule it for another time because comforting the family and, again, doing a celebration of life for Sister Smith, it absolutely takes precedence over this. So I just wanted to make sure you know that. I know that makes it difficult to plan. And trust me, I went back and forth. Maybe we should just cancel it just in case. But I just felt, you know what, I'd love, absolutely love to do this. And if it should see fit and if the family would like to do the funeral on Saturday, then I'd absolutely love to be there as well. Either way, hallelujah, we know God's going to be here this weekend. Amen. We know God's going to be here. If you have not made time, then it's up to you. We would love you to make time. It is Friday night at 7 o'clock, Saturday morning at 10. If you're concerned, you say, Pastor, I want to come, but I don't know if you have my number. I don't know if you're going to be able to get a hold of me. If we have to cancel, just come talk to me after service. Give me your number. Let me write it down somewhere. I'll start a list of people who want to make sure they're on that in case we do have to postpone this event so that we can let you know. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord. You know, and I don't want to linger too much. I know you've been standing a while. But there's such a difference when there's somebody who has changed their life around, who is close with God, who is filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the name of Jesus, have repented of their sins. Hallelujah. And when they pass, of course it's hard and we're going to miss them. But it's so much different because you know, hallelujah, that one day we're going to be with them again. They've asked me to preach the funeral whenever it may be, but her aunt said it best. Her aunt said, Pastor, you don't really even need to preach. Sister Smith preached with her testimony. And it's absolutely true. The journey she's gone through the last 3 or 4 years, turning her life around, it has been an amazing transformation. And I'm just honored that we had the opportunity to see it and be part of it. Amen. Hallelujah. So continue to pray for them. If you would, head in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Wonderful to have our guests here today again. And God bless you. Thank you for joining with us. Pray God blesses you again and continues to be with you and your family. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Before I read that, I do also want to mention Bob as well. He is back in the hospital. He has another sickness, some sort of infection. We want to pray for him. Amen. Please pray for him. Pray that God continues to strengthen him. If you have his number, send him some love. Let him know you're thinking about him, praying for him. If you have an opportunity to visit him, do what you can. Let's continue just to show him the love of God and pray for him. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and 7, such a simple verse. But this weekend, I felt such comfort in this verse, and I'd like to preach from it. It just simply says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care. That word care means to be thoughtful of, or another word is anxiety. Casting all of your anxiety, all of the thoughts that have been overwhelming you, to cast it upon Jesus. For he careth, or he cares about you. This is our assurance. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach a sermon. My sermon title might not make sense just yet, but I hope you'd go on just a little bit of a journey with me. I'd like to preach to you on sheep caught in the thicket. It may not align perfectly just yet with my verse, but I do feel a word from the Lord. How about we put our Bibles down and just for a moment talk to God and ask him to speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. You've already moved so beautifully in this place. But Lord God, you said that you've come to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, and so we believe that you can touch us physically. You can perform miracles in our bodies. We've seen you do it. You've done it for our people, Lord God. But we also today believe that you can touch the heart. I pray that you would move in the life of every person who is here. You would touch the mind, that, Lord, you would bring comfort to those who are here in this place, to the hearers. Lord, use me according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I am told that it is fairly common for sheep to get caught in something that is called a bramble bush. Commonly known with shepherds and those who raise sheep, that they get caught very often in bramble bushes. That you're seeing right there, that is a bramble bush. They are plants. They actually belong to the same family as the rose, which is interesting. They often produce raspberries or blackberries, like you see there. Now, if anybody's hungry today, your cheeks might be swelling up as we speak looking at this. Blackberries are very, very delicious. I remember when I was a very, very small boy. In fact, this is one of my earliest memories. I went to my grandfather's church. It was a very small independent church in West Vero. It was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, just farmland out there. The only people who really attended the church were family members. My aunts and uncles and their children, and my aunts and uncles had lots of children. One of my uncles has over nine children, and now they've got many, many children as they grow older. So there was never a shortage of children to run around and play with and all of that, and this church was a smaller church, but it was on a larger property. The house that was on the property my grandparents lived in, and they just had farmland surrounding it. And I know on the right side of the building, there was at one point, we discovered before service, a bramble bush, or at least what might most certainly be a bramble bush, full of blackberries. Our parents had no idea what was about to happen. My brothers and I and my cousins, we proceeded to eat our fill of blackberries. And again, remember, this was before service started. We were all there in our suits and, you know, we were in our ties and our white shirts. And if you know anything about blackberries, you've ever eaten them before, you know that they can be quite messy. In fact, they're like ink. They, if you get them on the wrong thing, they just completely stain. And we heard it. One of the parents came out and informed us that church was about to start. So here comes me and my cousins and my brothers walking in. Our face was stained black. Our clothes were dark, dark purple. I still remember. Now, maybe it's a memory or maybe it's just my imagination that's formed it, but I can still see my mom's mouth open wide as she saw me for the first time walking into this building stained with blackberry sauce all over me. It was delicious, though. I do remember that. It was some of the best blackberries I've ever had. It is a memory that some reason has stuck with me. I hardly remember anything at that time, but I remember how good those blackberries were. Hallelujah. I remember how delicious those blackberries were. And you know what else enjoys eating blackberries? Sheep do. Sheep enjoy eating blackberries. They go and they will eat their fill. They'll get as much as they can. It's not the only thing that they eat, but certainly it is a delicious snack to them. The problem is that the bramble bush doesn't just have blackberries. They also have sharp, backward-facing thorns. Very, very thick thorns. If you've ever seen a rose, you know, before it's been stripped of all its thorns, you know there are some very thick thorns on these. This is in the rose family. They're very, very similar. Very thick, sharp thorns that are on these bushes. And as the sheep goes in to eat of these blackberries on the outside, I'm sure they're all digging in, you know, once they come and discover this bramble bush. But once they've eaten all that's on the outside, then you can't just be satisfied with that. You got to dig in and get what's on the inside of that bush, right? And so they would not stop with just the outside. They'd want to get deeper in, burrow themselves into this bush so that they can just continue to eat this delicious snack. Hallelujah. But while they are in there, their fleece, their coat, it would protect them from the thorns. They would not realize at first just how sharp they are, how painful they are. The danger for the sheep is not necessarily that the thorns would prick them or to cut them, but rather that they would get stuck in the thorns. The thorns would get caught in the sheep's fleece. And every time the sheep moves and tries to struggle to get out, you can imagine the anxiety it would feel as all of a sudden he becomes immobile. He cannot remove himself from that situation. He was only there to have a little bit of a snack, a delicious meal, but now he feels that things are caving in around him. The entanglement of these thorns begin to grow closer and closer, and every time that sheep would move, every time it would struggle up against the thorns, hallelujah, it would not help at all. But rather it would make him even more tangled within the bramble bush. Hallelujah. It would use all of its might to try to break free. Use all of its strength to try to deliver itself. Perhaps it would think through it. Hallelujah. It would use all of its wit in order to try to find some escape out of this thorn bush. But every time it moved its leg, every time it wrestled around, every time it lost its patience, every time it began to struggle out of anxiety, those thorns would just cave in thicker and thicker to the point to where it could not move, not even its legs. It would be completely consumed by the bramble bush with no possibility of escape. Hallelujah. When I began to consider this, I thought of Genesis 22. Different situation, but it said, hallelujah, that there was a ram caught in the thicket. Hallelujah. When I consider this, I see a lamb caught in the thicket. Sheep caught in the thicket. Hallelujah. And I want to preach to some people today who maybe you feel like you might be caught. You might be stuck. You might feel like that sheep. All you tried to do was get in and to take care of yourself or take care of your family, to provide for yourself or provide for your family. But the deeper you went, the more stuck you felt. The deeper you went, the more it felt like the world was caving in around you. And even once your eyes were open and when you realized how desperate your situation was, it was already too late. The more you struggled against the vine, the worse that it got. The more you struggled and tried to break free, it seemed like it only choked you that much worse. Maybe you've come to a point where you've simply just tried to manage that anxiety, try to manage that fear. You find some solutions that give you relief, but it really only get better for a little while. But deep down inside, you know you're still stuck. It wouldn't be long before you'd feel the strangle of those vines again. I'm not trying to glorify your situation or your hardship, but I am here to tell you that you can't stay there. Hallelujah. The sheep remains trapped. If he never finds a way out, it is often where that sheep would eventually die, caught in the thicket. And you may ask, well, Pastor, if that is the situation, if that is the hardship, and if they're caught inside of that bush, you say we can't stay there, but what is the solution then? Every time I try to work a little bit more to get out of debt, it seems like debt just keeps following me. Every time I maybe get this medicine to take care of my anxiety, it seems like when the medicine winds off and goes away, then all that falls back on me even harder. I tried to speak with my family, but it only mixed things up. It didn't cure anything. So, Pastor, what is the solution? Where is my help? Oh, listen, I know it's simple, but this is the only solution I found, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, when that lamb came to its wit's end, and when that sheep got so caught up that it had no strength left, what was its solution? It would begin to cry out for the shepherd who would only be just a little ways off. It would shout to the top of its lungs to get his attention so that he could come and free them. Oh, I'm here to preach to somebody. You gotta cry out to God. You gotta cry out to the shepherd. You gotta cry out to your Savior. Hallelujah. He is the solution. He is the one who can help you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him. Why is it saying that? It's saying that, listen, there might be a solution there, a solution there. There might be help here or help there. But at the end of the day, you can't do it yourself. God did not design you to have all the answers. He did not design you to have all the strength. He did not create you to be able to get out of every situation. Hallelujah. No, but there is something missing inside of every person. It's the God void. Hallelujah. Where the inside of you, you know, I can't do it on my own. Hallelujah. I can get better, but it's not going to help. I can get more talent, but it's not going to help. At the end of the day, I need Jesus. Casting all your care. That word casting means to throw upon, to cast upon. Hallelujah, you got to come to a point where you're just so frustrated. So just over it. Hallelujah. Over the pain. Over the anxiety. Over the depression. Hallelujah. Listen, that's not the time to give up. That's the time to throw up to the Lord. To cast up to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's time to call on the one who's got the answers. I looked, and you may say, well, what was this verse of scripture have to do with sheep being caught in a thicket? I saw this verse. I said, there's really just two key words in this verse, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care. Everybody say care. Upon him, for he careth, everybody say careth, for you. That word care, it means care, to be thoughtful, or anxiety. Those things that are wearing upon us. And I'm certainly not here to undermine those things. I'm not here to undermine your worries or your pain. I'm not here to undermine your anxieties. Trust me, we all struggle with the vines. And there's one verse of scripture that it brought me to. I looked at all the verses where this word was used, and there were three verses, all in different gospels and all coming from the same parable. It was Jesus' explanation of the parable of the good soil. You know the parable. There were good soil. There's seed fell on the side of the soil, the byway, and the birds came down and ate it, and then it went in, but it went into rocky soil, and it made it difficult for it to take root. And then there was the third soil where as it grew, thorns would grow with it. Matthew 13 and 22 says, he also, and this is Jesus' explanation of that parable, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, but the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And I read that and I realized that word care is the same word in 1 Peter, the care of this world. This is something that no human can escape from. There is this pursuit of paradise, but I'm sorry to tell you, we're not going to experience that, not until we make it to heaven. But as long as we are in this world, we're going to have to deal with the cares of this world. These thorns that represent the cares that represent themselves in thorns would be those things in your life that begin to slowly capture you, place great anxiety upon you. And it tends to choke out the word of God. And this verse doesn't say that it would destroy the vine. It just simply says it make it unfruitful. In other words, you might be able to survive stuck in the thorns, but you're just not going to be all that God's called you to be. Is this okay today? Hallelujah. Can I go on for just a few more minutes? The anxiety of finances that begin to cave in. Listen, I'm a pastor of a small church. I know the anxiety of finances. Trust me. I know what it's like to try to pay the bills. God has blessed my family tremendously. He opened up doors before the economy changed, so that at least personally, we've not had to deal with as many financial hardships as some other people have. But I understand, every person here understands the stress of trying to manage your finances. Am I right? Hallelujah. I heard one amen on that one. I thought I'd get the whole place shouting and hollering and running around. We all know what that's like to try to make ends meet, to try to provide for your family. And even when you do find the solution, you find a career that does take care of all your needs, then that career has to be managed. And then all your anxiety is put into just trying to keep your job. It's all right, hallelujah. Trying to keep your jobs, trying to keep the numbers up. Why is that? Because you got little bambinos at home. You got to take care of. You got children. You want to make sure they got food at the end of the day. Oh, how about we talk about the end of the day, Brother Stephen? Come home after a long day. You got a little girl like I do. She talk as much as my little girl does? Yes. I don't even get my foot in the door. My daughter has then told me 50 stories of what has taken place that day. Like, I just want to get my shoes off. Hallelujah. And then she wants to show me every paper that she's drawn. I love them. In that moment, I don't. But I do love them overall. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we just get a little real today. I'm just going to get a little real with you. Hallelujah. You might think pastors don't have any stress. Let me tell you, we got stress. We got anxiety. Yesterday, of course, was a difficult day. I didn't find out until somewhere around 10 or 10:30 of the passing of Sister Smith. I was on my way out the door already heading to the church. I thought to myself, and I told my kids, I said, listen, I'm going to go to the church early today so that I can work, so that I can come and be with you tonight, and we can eat dinner together. Then I got the phone call, text messages. I ran to go meet with Sister Smith's mother. I was there for a couple hours with them. By the time I got here at the church, I didn't get much done. It wasn't a lot that I could get done. My family came. We did outreach. After outreach, I had a decision to make. Do I stay and finish all the work that is weighing on me? Or do I go home? We were sitting out there on the couch, and we were discussing this, my wife and I, and my son, you guys know, good-hearted William. He looks over, he says, Daddy, it's okay if you want to stay here and work. He said, I didn't get my hopes up that you were going to come home anyhow. And he was just so genuine about it. He's such a good kid. My daughter came and kicked me in the shins and said, no, you're coming home. No, I'm kidding. She didn't do that. Hallelujah. But you better believe I spent about 10 minutes here frantically getting rid of anything I could get done. And then I went home and I spent it with my family. And I told my son, I said, listen, you can trust that if I say something, I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But listen, that's not easy. I'm not trying to say this. I'm trying to help you to understand. I have anxieties too. I got stress. I want to spend the weekends. I don't get a day off. I got to come here and work for the church, right? You might feel like you don't get a day off. You got to be with your family, or you got to mow the lawn, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. All of that wears on the modern day adult. Then you mix in sicknesses and diseases, loved ones passing. Hallelujah. All of this begins to feel like the world is caving in. And if we don't know where to go, we attempt to manage it through drugs or alcohol or other carnal worldly pleasures. My coworker the other day, He knows I'm a pastor. He knows I'm a preacher. He knows that I've never tasted alcohol. And I've not. I've never put my lips on an alcoholic beverage. He said, you never even smelt it? I said, I've never even gotten close enough to smell alcohol. And that's true. I've smelt it on people. But I've never smelt alcohol. Hallelujah. But he thinks it's so hilarious then to, of course, talk to me about it all the time. And he wanted to explain to me why exactly this type of alcoholic beverage was his favorite. He says, I'm not an alcoholic. I just want to drink enough to be able to forget, is what he said. And this is where we come to. We try to just manage the pain. We're not trying to find healing for the pain. We're just managing it. Hallelujah. A lot of our healthcare system, I'm not one to talk up against preachers or doctors or therapists or anything like that, but I am, I do recognize that it seems like as somebody who goes to the doctor often because of my health issues, I do feel like often they are not there to cure, but rather to just make you comfortable. Again, I'm not speaking against them. They've done many, many great things for me. Hallelujah, but you start to feel like there really is no solution outside of the thorns. And if we don't find a way to get a hold of God, then those thorns will cave in so much where it will choke out the Christian. It will choke out your happiness. It will choke out your joy. It'll choke out your family. It'll choke out your belief. It'll choke out your faith. Where you were a strong Christian, now you feel like you're just making it. I'm here to preach to you. You gotta call on Jesus again. And you gotta pray. You gotta cast it upon Jesus. Let him worry about it. Come on now, hallelujah. Let him worry about the finances. Let him worry about the children. Let him worry about the stresses. So, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, look at this. Philippians 4 and 6. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing. That word careful, it literally means be anxious for nothing. For nothing. Hallelujah. What does that mean? It means, listen, do the best you can to prepare your finances. Do things wisely. Hallelujah. Save to the best of your ability. Don't get in debt to the best of your ability. Do things wisely. But at the end of the day, don't go to bed with all that wearing on your mind and your heart. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, don't go to bed worrying about all the things you didn't do or you didn't say. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, come to the Lord with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just here to tell you, I found the solution. I found the secret. I found the exit out of the thorn bush. Here it is. Praying to the Lord, crying out to God, hallelujah, in everything, trust in the Lord. Verse 7, look at this, if we can learn to pray, hallelujah, in supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto the Lord, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that automatically you're going to have money in the bank, but what it means is that a peace will come over you that you don't quite understand. A peace will come over you that seems supernatural. It's not coming from you or this world. It's coming from heaven. He's giving you what you need to make it in this life. This is it. People are going to look at you and say, how could you be so happy at a time like this? And all I can say is Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's the reason. He's keeping my heart. Oh, hallelujah, I wonder right now, I'm almost done, but I'm not done. But can you just lift up your hands and begin to call on that name, Jesus? Oh, talabasanadabasata. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. I don't have time to go into all this, but I just feel like I gotta just establish this point. I can't tell you how many times I've been going through it. I've been struggling, and I've been fighting. And listen, when you're going through that, often the last thing your flesh wants to do is cry out to Jesus. Am I right? The last thing your flesh says is, go to church. No, I could do this. Cry out to Jesus. No, I got this. So you shake a little bit more. Try to ram through that thicket. Every time you do it, though, it closes in more and more. I remember one time being in my car. I don't remember what I was going through. I was dealing with some doubt and some fighting, internal fighting just with myself about this and that and things with the church and family, and it's just all sorts of different things. And I remember going to Walmart and going and parking, and I'd been, for an hour, I'd been just sitting there just angry and grinding my teeth. Why is all this happening? And the whole while back in my mind and way back there, I could hear it. Just pray. Just call out to Jesus. No, no, I want to be angry. I want to be upset. But when I got in that car parking lot of Walmart, I sat there for a moment. I said, God, what am I doing? I'm sorry. I need you, Jesus. And I tell you, like a flood of water, his presence came into that car. And I felt instant relief as I felt the hands come in and start moving those thorns off of me. Hallelujah. I said, God, I give it to you. I give it to you. You can do this with the assurance that he careth for you. He cares about you. He doesn't want you to be in pain. Sometimes he'll allow it. We can be truthful about that. But he doesn't want you to be in pain. He doesn't want you to be stressed out. You can come to him knowing with all assurity that he's going to help. Maybe not in the way that you want him to help, but he is going to help you. Everybody say, he's going to help. I looked at that verse, 1 Peter, and I caught on to the second word, careth. I searched it up. It comes from a Greek word which means to care about, to be of interest to. If you don't know it, he cares about you. You're of interest to him. He's not up there ignoring you. He sees you. He sees what you're going through. He sees what you're struggling with. He cares for you. So I searched. I said, okay, what verses in the Bible have this word? There's a few different ones, but this is the only one that truly made sense to me. John 10:10. And give me a minute. It's going to take a few verses here to capture it. But it says this: the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come. This is Jesus speaking, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you don't know, that is his goal for you. That is what God wants for you. He wants you to have life. He wants you to have abundant life. Oh, praise God. That doesn't always look like what you might want look like. Doesn't mean you're going to be driving around in a Tesla. Maybe, I don't know. Nobody actually drives around in a Tesla. Tesla drives them around, right? But hallelujah. But he wants you to have an abundant life. Verse 11. Look at this. I am the good shepherd. I I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want you to remember this. If you ask yourself, does he really care about me? Remember, he has already died for you. Yes, he cares about you. Verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. These were men who were hired. These were not his sheep. They were hired for a wage to fulfill a job. But they were not the shepherd. Whose own the sheep are not. He seeth the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep and fleeth. He doesn't stand there. He doesn't try to fight off the wolf. He doesn't try to save the sheep. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Why? Because this is a hireling. He doesn't care. Verse 13, and this is where we see that key word. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and he careth not for the sheep. Look at verse 14. He says it again. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. He knows you. Everybody say, he knows me. I'm almost done. Please, just three more minutes. He knows you. And he is the good shepherd. He doesn't run in danger. He doesn't ignore in the midst of anxiety and stress. He careth for those who will cast their cares upon him. Matthew 10:29, he says he knoweth his sheep. Look at this, are not two sparrows, two birds, sold for a farthing? A farthing would be about 1.5 cents. That's how much they're worth. 1.5 cent. Listen, I throw on the ground a penny if I get it. I don't really, but you get the point. You wouldn't sit there and preserve a penny, 1.5 cents. Says this, two sparrows would be sold for 1.5 cents. But if one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father seeing it, knowing about it. And they're only worth 1.5 cents for two of them. How much are you worth to God? So much so where verse 30 says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Seems like that number changes quite drastically every day for me. Hallelujah. But he says, every hair on your head is numbered by God. At this very moment, he knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. And that's not just some random fact. God's not into random facts. It's because he knows you. He knows your needs. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're fighting with. He knows everything about you. He cares about you. That's why he says in verse 31, fear ye not, therefore. therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. If he cares for the sparrow that much, he cares for you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to help you. How about we stand? We've been on Wednesday nights talking about the oneness of God and the doctrine of one God. This last Wednesday, we talked about compound names for Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, and things like that that meant different times to different people, revelations of who God was when they needed him. Hallelujah. In Psalms chapter 23, it communicates one of those compound names. It was a revelation to David, the writer, as he needed God in his life at that moment. And the Lord revealed himself to him. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. And if he's my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to go hungry. I'm not going to go thirsty. Hallelujah. For I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If he is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." What that means is he's going to bring me to a supply of nutrients. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, right now, there's some people down a dark valley. This can also be compared to there's some people stuck in the thicket. And you just don't know how you're going to get out. And you haven't seen the light in some time. And you don't know where the exit is. I'm here to tell you, the Good Shepherd is here with us. Cast your cares upon him. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, it runs over with the goodness of God. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's the good shepherd today. He's the good shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to make a call for anybody today who'd like to just come down and call on that good shepherd. Anybody today, hallelujah, you might feel stuck or you might not, but you said, you know what? I need to get a hold of my good shepherd. Come on, would you come down? Bring your anxieties and your pain. Bring your stress. And would you lay it down on the altar and say, God, I'm not going to take